Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. I am excited today because in this series on rest in Christ, we are studying the invitation of Jesus. It's actually been our theme song for this whole series, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, the invitation of Jesus. So welcome to Hope Sabbath School and welcome to our team. We've explained what the Gideon's Band means, right? We're five because of restrictions, but I'm excited because we're adding some remote team members. Want to welcome Shayna. Good to have you with us, Shayna. Want to welcome Addison. Good to have you with us, Addison. And want to welcome Puya. Great to have you with us. These are all great team members. Love. People say, where are they? Answer is, we're all here today. Amen? Mm-hmm. And we're going to have a great study together. And I want to thank you for being part of our Hope Sabbath School family. We always love to hear from you. You write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. And by the way, I've got a special gift for you, so don't forget to pay attention during this early part of the program. But here's a note from Ngoni, a Zimbabwean in Australia. Are we an international community?
Yes.
Ngoni writes and says, hello, Hope Sabbath School.
Hello.
Got a wave. I'm Ngoni from Zimbabwe, living in Australia, just pleading for God to bless your ministry. Mm. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. I really feel blessed watching Hope Sabbath School as you bring a study of the Bible down to a personal level. I also enjoy watching as I have a baby and I have to take her to a beginner's class each Sabbath, and I don't have to miss out on the adult Bible study. Isn't that beautiful? Well, Ngoni, I'm not an expert in your country, so I don't know whether you're the mommy or the daddy. Maybe you can write to us and let us know that, or if someone is an expert on Zimbabwean names, you can let us know. Send us an email. But thank you for writing to us from Australia. Here's a note from Kerleen in California in the United States. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Got a wave to Kerleen. I have thoroughly enjoyed the ministry of Hope Sabbath School. I especially love how the team members are willing to be vulnerable and transparent about their current situations. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not a play, is it? This is real life, real Bible study. May God continue to rain down showers of blessing upon you and the Hope Sabbath School ministry. Blessings from Southern California. And Kerleen puts a Bible note at the end. She says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Amen?
Amen.
Where's that found? Anyone remember?
Proverbs
chapter 3? Beautiful. Thanks, Kerleen, for writing to us from California. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Here's a note from a donor. It's a little skinny note from a donor in Michigan. Jason, that's your home territory, isn't it? In the United States. And it says, I watch Hope TV on the Roku app. All right. For about 2 years before that, I watched on a television using Charter services. I guess that's like a cable network. I had to get the greater package in order to get Hope Channel, but it was worth it. But now on Roku. Praise God for Hope Channel and a gift of $1,000 to help the ministry of Hope Sabbath School and Hope Channel. Thank you so much, donor from Michigan. And thanks to each one of you for partnering with us. It's as simple as going to hopetv.org/donate and click on the button. And we're just so glad you're part of our family. Alexander writes, let me see, from the UK, my homeland, from Manchester. And Alexander says, things are not easy for us at all right now, but this is my message. By God's grace, I press on.
Amen. Amen.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
I'm grateful for Hope Sabbath School. Your resources are being used by my fellow Sabbath School teachers. Thank you. May God continually bless you. Keep this ministry afloat by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, Alexander, I'd like to meet you. You sound like you're a dynamic teacher of the Word, and we're glad that Hope Sabbath School is making a difference there in my homeland. A Tanzanian studying in Sweden. Did I say we were an international family?
Wow.
Lutiger writes from Sweden and says, hello, God's people.
Hello.
I'm thanking God for Hope Sabbath School. Why? Well, I'm a Tanzanian, and I always follow Hope Sabbath School on YouTube, but currently I'm studying in Sweden, and you keep me company with God's Word through this pandemic period.
Amen.
Blessings, Ludiger. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Well, write to us, Ludiger. Tell us what you're studying there in Sweden. I'm always amazed that people will go to another country and study in a second language. Mm. That really is quite remarkable. We're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. One last note from someone born in St. Lucia, but living in the Twin Islands of Trinidad and Tobago.
Okay.
Anne Marie writes and says, I am a native of the Caribbean island of St. Lucia, currently residing in the Twin Islands of Trinidad and Tobago. I'm a regular viewer of Hope Sabbath School, and I have to say I'm always truly blessed and enlightened. I look forward to the Bible study each week, and I share the link with my friends and family.
Amen.
Amen.
I pray that God will continue to bless your ministry. Well, Anne Marie from Trinidad, I'm amazed every time I read these emails, aren't you?
Yeah.
That God has Hope Sabbath School members in more than 200 countries around the world. Wow. And take a look at our team here. Both are here in the studio. We look like the world, and that's a good thing, isn't it?
Yes.
And right now we need you to sing a song. Oh, I have a special gift for you. If you go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS, there's a special gift. The theme song that we're about to sing, you can get that song plus 11 other scripture songs to hide God's word in your heart. Just go to our website, click on the button that says Get Free Gift. We figured you'd recognize the button. If you push on it, you'll get a link, and you'll get those 12 songs, including our beautiful theme song for this series, Rest in Christ. Let's sing it together right now.
Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you
You know, that is one of my favorite passages in the scripture we just sang. But we're actually going to study it today. The invitation of Jesus, come and find rest for your soul.
Amen. Yes.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, I'm excited today because this is the word of the Lord. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful because we're not studying human opinions and theories, but the word of Jesus, mm-hmm. the invitation of Jesus. And so I pray that the Holy Spirit would not only bless our team here and our team members joining us remotely, but our Hope Sabbath School family around the world. Some may be joining for the very first time, and this program will change their lives forever. Mm-hmm. May the Holy Spirit bless our study, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, the words of Jesus we're going to study today are found in Matthew chapter 11. And I have to say, I like our studies when we really focus in on a text. And there's no better words than the words of Jesus. Am I right?
Yes. Amen.
So let's start our study. Billy, if you could read for us just the first verse. We actually sang the whole passage. But let's start with Matthew 11, verse 28.
Okay. And I'll be reading from the New International Version. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking about rest in Christ in this whole series, and we know that that's rest for our souls, right? Spiritual rest, mm-hmm. but it can be emotional rest too, relational rest, right? Mental rest, even physical rest. The Sabbath mm-hmm. is a time we can lay down our burdens, but we need to rest in Christ all the time. Yes. But notice how this begins with one word in your translation, but I think probably in every translation. What's the word?
Come.
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 Now that in the Greek text is an imperative. Mm-hmm. What does that mean, an imperative?
It's a command.
It's language. A command yeah. or an earnest appeal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If it's like, run, mm-hmm. run before you say why, because someone shouted, run, mm-hmm. come. Mm-hmm. Why do you think this Jesus begins his appeal with this mm-hmm. urgent imperative, this urgent appeal? Why is it so important? Yes, Billy.
Yeah, I'm thinking there's a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons I'm thinking is that, let's say if I have something good and I want to share, that I want to invite people to come get it. So I think Jesus is basically the gospel. Like, he's saying that you've been waiting for this for a long time. I have it. Come get it.
All right.
So I think that's when
I hear the love of Jesus. Yeah. I see the love yeah. of Jesus even in your smile. This is not come like a stern. This is a come, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Haiti.
I think in this sin-filled world, we have so many burdens. Mm. And I think he's calling to us like a parent, you know, come to me, because I can take that away. Mm.
So it's not only that I've got something good to share,
yeah.
but I see how much you need mm. the yes. rest. Yes. Stephanie.
I think it's also an acknowledgement on our part that says, I recognize that I need that rest.
Our response, you mean?
That's right.
Okay.
So when we come, it's a recognition of that.
Sure. Jason.
And it shows that we have the freedom. We have the opportunity to make the choice. God will not force us. He gives us that chance.
Yes,
so that's important. Puya.
Very true.
Yes, I also believe that coming to Jesus represents surrendering our lives over to him. And so I think that's the first thing that we could do before we follow Jesus. There's nothing that we can add to the salvation that Jesus has accomplished, but we need to surrender our lives, and coming to Jesus means surrendering to him.
You know, I'm excited just from the first part. If this was the only thing someone heard, they got Jesus has something really good to give us, yeah. and he knows how much we need it, mm-hmm. and we have a choice to make. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You say, why wouldn't we choose that? We'll get to that in just a minute. Mm-hmm. If we just heard that, we could accept the invitation.
Yes.
And find rest for our souls, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the skeptic, and by the way, being skeptical is not a sin. Thomas struggled sometimes, didn't
mm-hmm.
he?
Mm-hmm.
Blessed are those, Jesus said, who don't see and yet still believe.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, but the skeptic, Jason, might say, well, anybody could walk up to you today and say, I will give you the gift of rest. By what authority does Jesus make this happy and urgent invitation to come and find rest for our souls?
Sure. So this isn't just an ordinary man saying this. This is the Son of God himself. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. He's speaking, he is God, and he's speaking on behalf of God. And so he's speaking with the divine power. And also, God says, I don't change. So what he says, he will do.
So we're taking into account who's telling us to come and find rest. Now, actually, if you look at the context, I see, Shana, your hand raised, and then Sabina. If you look at the context, right before he said it, he says something else really important. But Shana, let me take your point.
I think we also have to consider, as Jason said, who is telling us to come and rest. This is the one who created the concept of rest in the first place. And so if he's telling me to come and rest, then, you know, it must be the real thing.
So maybe what I should say, and then we'll come to Sabina. Maybe if someone says, well, I don't know, I would say, read the Gospels and then come to the conclusion.
Yes.
Is it possible?
Yes.
This one who cast out demons, and they said, we know who you are, Holy One of God. Mm-hmm. Is it possible that he could do that for you?
Right.
And the Holy Spirit can bring confirmation.
Yes.
Sabina.
And also, Pastor Derek, I think it's very important to look at the context to figure out what type of rest is Jesus offering here. Mm. So he had just come from talking about John the Baptist, who was a prophet that had alerted people to repent of their sins. So, and then he speaks about some cities that had been impenitent, who had decided not to follow and receive this call, respond to this call. And even though he was upset about those cities, he still says there is still time for those who want to repent and come to me. Mm. So I see that the type of rest that he is offering here is for those who are burdened by sin, burdened by the idea of maybe self-righteousness or self-justification, which were ideas at that time. And he's saying that the type of labor that he requires is one that is not our labor, it's his labor who will make it for us. So I also think of this type of rest, that why is that Jesus only that can give? Because he's the one who can provide for us salvation.
Okay. Puya, I'd like you to read, Sabina's mentioned about the importance of context. Would you read the previous verse, just verse 27? We're going to go back and look at a little more context. But it is actually really important to ask, who's making this wonderful offer to us, this wonderful invitation? Matthew 11, verse 27, Puya.
Sure. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him.
Thank you, Puya. And Jason, I'm hearing your earlier comment. I mean, this is the Son of God, who was the Word in the beginning with God and who was God, who's making this invitation.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That makes all of the difference, doesn't it? Now, let's look at a little more context, Stephanie. Let's go back a few more verses and look at verses 21 to 24. Because Sabina said, Derek, let's look at the context. Because it reinforces that we need to come to Jesus and find rest for our souls. Yes. Mm-hmm. But how does your Bible read there in Matthew 11, 21 to 24?
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you.
So he's about to then say, come and find rest. By listening to those words, what might hinder his hearers from coming, accepting the invitation? From that context. I think there's other reasons, things that might hinder us. But what would you say, Sabina, just from those words?
It sounds to me, Pastor Derek, that it's lack of faith because that's a region in Galilee, those cities they were around, which is a place where Jesus had been, you know, doing lots of miracles and preaching insistently. So it sounds to me like it was just lack of faith.
And Capernaum, that's his home base, actually, right?
Yes.
And you talked about Chorazin and Bethsaida. That's where Bethsaida is, where James and John, they were from. I mean, this is right there at the top of the lake. Mm-hmm. And then Tyre and Sidon, of course, is farther away. Mm-hmm. But there's, you could say there's so many people around me who don't believe.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That could hold me back. Is that right? Yes, Addison.
Yeah, along with that lack of unbelief, there was a love for self. Mm. And the love for self, it brings unrest. Mm. And so both of these things really thwarted their ability to say, okay, Lord, I'm coming to you because I need help and I need rest.
Mm. Thank you for sharing that. I want to suggest one other hindrance. And Haiti, if you could go to Romans chapter 10, we're not staying right in this passage, but Romans 10, 14, it's actually the reason that Hope Sabbath School exists, because it may be unbelief around us or love of self, but there may be another reason why people who really need, Billy, that amazing gift Jesus wants to offer, and as Haiti said, they have longing in their hearts, but what could hinder them? Romans 10 verse 14.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Mm.
It's easy, is it not, for us to sit in judgment, Puya? You're now working as a pastor. Sit in judgment and say, "Why didn't you come to find rest for your souls?" And the person says, "I don't know how." Do you see that even in your work there, in your ministry?
Yes. So many people do not have the opportunity to hear Jesus because of not having had any encounter with a Christian or someone who believes in Jesus. So I believe this is still happening even today. People still need to hear Jesus in order to believe in him. Mm.
So here's the imperative. If we cut the program right now, we would say, we've learned something really important. Mm-hmm. Jesus has something really good to offer, something we really need. We have a choice to make.
Yes.
But there are things that could hinder, even not knowing.
Yeah. Mm.
And that's why we're studying. And I'm praying for everyone watching Hope Sabbath School today. Are you?
Yeah.
Someone's going to have a breakthrough today. Exactly. Maybe you're going to have a breakthrough today when you say, "I need rest for my soul, and I'm going to come to Jesus." Well, he offers more than just rest for our soul. Let's keep studying together. Verses 29 and 30, Stephanie, we have the introduction of another idea of a yoke, which Jesus offers us. Would you read verses 29 and 30?
Sure, and I'll
Matthew
be reading.
11.
From the New King James Version, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Mm-hmm. Now, Shana, I don't know if you grew up on a farm. I don't think so, but I know you're well-read and you know some things about agriculture. Could you describe a yoke for us? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so a yoke is, I guess we would call it a device that connects two animals, and most likely oxen, and they both have to share this in order to plow the fields or do whatever their master needs them to do. So it's a weight that's put over their necks, and it's connecting the two of them.
All right, and we can already imagine what that looks like, right? Mm-hmm. A yoke. Joining two animals that work together. So I'm sure they'd heard of that word. You know, an agricultural society.
Right. Yeah.
They'd heard of that word. No tractors back then, right? But oxen and a yoke that could join the two together. So help me, someone. What would Jesus mean when he says, "Take my yoke upon you"? Did Jesus make a yoke in his carpenter shop? And is it talking literally, Jason, or figuratively? What's Jesus saying here?
So I think he's speaking figuratively, it's a metaphor, if you will. And this is the idea of a yoke is like a guidance system. So Jesus is saying here, you have all these other guidance systems you've been taking, and they've been yokes that have been oppressive, they've been bondage, they have not given you rest, but take my guidance system, let me guide you, and then when you follow in my path, you will have true rest.
All right, anyone want to add to that? Puya.
Yes, in the context, picking up on what Jason just said, in the context where Jesus said these words, the people were taught that God was someone that they had to please. They had to perform a legalistic religion where they had to do certain things in order to earn God's love and God's favor, which was very oppressive, a very difficult yoke to carry. And it is what most religion, almost all the religions in the world teaches, that we have to perform in order to earn God's favor. And it is a difficult and heavy burden to carry. And when Jesus comes along here and said, take my yoke, he's presenting to the people and to us today a different kind of yoke where he teaches us his love. And it is it becomes not a burden, but as we continue to read, we find that it's a yoke that is easy to carry, where we obey God, not because we feel that we have to perform, but we through that relationship with God, we live the life and we live in obedience as a result of a loving relationship with God in obedience. And it becomes a joy to obey God. It no longer has become a burden when we are in living relationship with him.
All right, you almost gave us the entire class.
Yes.
But we were listening for you. That's beautiful. We're going to talk about what it means that it's easy in just a moment. But there was a key word that Puya mentioned, which I think is crucial if this yoke is figurative. He used the word relationship.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Relationship. Shana, I saw your hand, and then Sabina. Short comments. Yoke. His yoke. Shana?
I think Puya fully encapsulated the idea of the yoke. But if I, if you think about the concept of the yoke, it's two animals, right? And if I'm lesser, if I can't hold up my weight and I allow Jesus to carry my weight, it becomes easier to bear.
All right. So you're still using the literal picture of the yoke, but I like that relationship word that Puya used. Sabina? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that I was going along the lines of what Shana was sharing also, because to my knowledge, usually they don't put two oxen that are, you know, that don't know exactly where they need to go, what they need to do. Usually there is a more experienced one that they tie to one that is weaker or that are. So in this sense, the image that I carry is like in this relationship of guidance, there is one of them who knows already what to do and knows the end of, you know, of the work. So I can see that in this relationship, Jesus is discipling us as to where we are going, and the end that he has for us is much better than the end that we can imagine ourselves. So I think of that also as being the easiest yoke, because when we make decisions by our own without considering God, usually we end up in difficult places.
Could he say something in today's culture? Instead of saying, take my yoke, could he say, take my hand?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
I saw you, Billy, you were reaching
out. And I was going to say the same thing, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when a person, and I, Sabina, thank you for the insight about one who's more knowledgeable, who knows the way. When someone comes in a challenging situation and says to you, Billy, take my hand, what does that tell you?
It tells me that sometimes it's hard to express ourselves. Like, let's say if something's very burdensome, but touching somebody and holding their hands give you confidence and also security. Mm. And sometimes people need that. They need to know that they are in a safe space. Mm-hmm. So that touch of that relationship. So I think these two, even back then, these two oxen would bump into each other just to make sure that, oh, you're right there. Okay, I'm still here. And Jesus, basically, in modern terminology, holding that hands, I think, provides that security and that confidence.
You know, Puya alluded to the bondage, the yoke of bondage. This is not that at all. This is holding the hand of someone who loves you, mm-hmm. with an immeasurable and unfailing love. Yes. Now, he says, and Addison, I'm going to give you a chance to pitch in here. He says, hold my hand, if you will, and learn from me.
Yeah.
What, yes. Addison, help us get started with that part of the discussion. What are some things we might need to learn from Jesus in our relationship, mm-hmm. get connecting with him?
Well, it reminds me of what the Apostle Paul was getting at. He says, you know, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things mm-hmm. have become new. And so Jesus, he came to give us life and life more abundantly, to start over, to start afresh, a new life in him. And so there's just so many things, but one lesson I believe that's so important that we can learn from Jesus and the example he set for us while he was on earth was the lesson of integrity and being true to yourself.
All right. We're actually, I'm noticing in the study, and Stephanie, I'll come to your point, that it's actually one of the things we're going to learn is what it means to be meek mm-hmm. and lowly in heart, right? But mm-hmm. we're actually going to learn a lot of things about Jesus
yes.
if we take his hand. Mm-hmm. Because we're not taking his hand and dragging him where we want to go, right?
That's right. Yeah.
We're taking the hand, like Sabina said, of the one who knows so much more mm-hmm. when we connect with him. Stephanie.
So it all seems very closely connected, right? Because when we come close to Jesus, then our wills become his will. His will becomes mm-hmm. ours. And we are ministering in the manner in which he would minister. And by beholding, we become changed. And as a result, I kind of want to go back to what Puya said. His point was, in obedience, it's willing. Because now you desire to do that because you have this relationship with your Savior.
You know, I'm thinking of a story like the woman caught in the act of adultery. If I'm holding the hand of Jesus and learning from him, mm-hmm. I might stoop down when other people are stooping down to pick up rocks. Mm-hmm. But Jesus is not going to act that way, is he? Mm-hmm. No. It's really kind of...
That's true. Mm-hmm.
What term do we have in our language? It's almost... It's a disciple, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
A learner. Mm-hmm. Some mm-hmm. things that we need to learn from him. Billy?
Yeah, and also I think, you know, well, you know, we learn to speak like Jesus, to have that compassion, you know, when we're, you know, showing love. Sometimes we may love something, but the way we package that, you know, may be rough. So learning to be compassionate, I think that's one of the things that Jesus does. But he's also, because he's a disciple, he wants us to copy him. So at the same time that he's lightening our load, he wants us to lighten other people's loads.
Wow.
It might be they are carrying that burden, and we may not feel qualified, but just to lighten that person's burden with a smile, with just reaching out, or even speaking for those who couldn't speak for themselves, praying for those who can't pray for themselves, I think that's a way of discipling. Mm-hmm. Of practically doing something that he's been taught. Mm-hmm.
So testimony time. I know time's passing mm-hmm. away. Addison, I see your hand. Sabina, too. If we can boil this down, the invitation is not to come with some money, push it, take it, and walk.
That's right.
It's an invitation to connect
yes.
with Jesus, to have a yeah. relationship. The image, yes, of helping bear the weight and all of that, but it's a relationship. It's taking his hand.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that is going to change everything and give us rest for our souls. Mm-hmm. Well, we've got a few things we're going to learn about gentleness and meekness, but Addison and Sabina will take your comments first. Addison?
Well, you know, just to add on to that, it's just such a encouraging thing to know that we have the ability that God wants a relationship with us each and every Amen. Day, that we can connect to him. I mean, what greater privilege? Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus, he came and died for us. He's doing an amazing work for us mm-hmm. in heaven, finishing the work of atonement. And throughout every point and throughout the course of history, he's saying, I want a relationship, a relationship, a relationship.
Amen.
I want you to be connected to me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Mm-hmm. And so by connecting with Jesus, who is the source of light and strength, and gives us the willpower to say no to temptation, mm-hmm. That's good news. And Absolutely. By connecting with Christ, we can have the greater, we'll be able to love our neighbor more, and we'll be able to connect with them, I believe, on a deeper level, and be able to use Christ's method alone to meet their needs, to meet them where they're at.
It will change everything. Mm-hmm. We're talking about holding hands for life.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A relationship for life.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Connecting for life. Yes. Sabina.
Pastor Derek, the text that is burning on my heart right now is the text of the Shema. It's, you know, in Deuteronomy 6, from verses 4 to 9. I don't know if I can read part of it, but it's a text that says, so Deuteronomy 6.
Would you like to turn to that?
Yes.
All right, okay. Our time is limited. Yeah. Which verses so, would you like to read?
Yes, verse 4 is the main one that I would like
read. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4.
Yes, so it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. And following that, you know, God is sharing that the people of Israel, they were supposed to teach their children in this path of a relationship with God. So when I look at what Jesus is inviting people to be in, I believe he's teaching them to exactly enter into a relationship with God, which is that a relationship of loving him with all their heart or their soul and all their strength, which was the heart of the law. Because these people, they were burdened by the lack of understanding of the heart of the law. So I can see Jesus, just as he requests us to teach the children to walk in a path of loving God fully with their whole being, that's what he would want us to learn from Jesus as well, truly.
Beautiful.
Which is not our own labor, but it's God's labor for us, and then that we enter into that relationship to see what's that type of law that he gives us as a gift.
Thank you, Sabina, for pointing that out, that just as the parent teaches to the child, the Savior is wanting to teach us. Right. We've got his hand.
Yes.
We've heard a lot of words like relationship and connected. One of the things that he models is to be gentle and lowly in heart. In fact, the Apostle Paul speaks about the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to be meek? Anyone?
It's like
Haiti?
The opposite of arrogance and pride. It's to focus on others instead of yourself. Humility.
Can you think of some times just quickly in the ministry of Jesus where you see that meekness and lowliness of heart? Billy?
It's kind of rough, but when he was being arrested and Peter, you know, went at, you know, the soldiers cutting his ears, Jesus could have, you know, amplified that situation. But instead, he was very meek. He did not fight back. Instead, he even healed the ear of the
Malchus, the high priest's servant, and told Peter to put his sword away, right?
Exactly.
All right, Shana?
I'm thinking of a few examples, but I'll just say one. And it's even how he related to the woman that was caught in adultery.
Yes.
The people brought her to him for him to condemn her. And he was essentially like, no. And at the end of the story, she was left there with him. And he says, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. And so that was the ultimate display of meekness.
And gentleness, surely. Mm-hmm. What about when the mothers came with their children? Yes. And the disciples were like, stop bothering the Savior.
Yeah.
And what did Jesus say? Anybody remember? Stephanie?
Let the children come to me. Mm-hmm. And they came. They were happy to come and sit on his lap. Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus, it says he laid his hands on them and blessed them. Yeah. So Jesus modeled that gentle spirit. Mm-hmm. Why is it important for us to model? Puya, why is it important for us to model that meekness and lowliness of heart as followers of Jesus?
I think, first of all, if we don't have meekness, as Haiti pointed out, the opposite of meekness is pride and arrogance. It makes us think that we can do it on our own and that we probably don't need the help from God or anyone. And so when we don't have that meekness, first of all, it prevents us, it blinds us from our need to be in that relationship with Jesus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And once we are in that relationship with Jesus, we continue to need that meekness and learn from Jesus, because we are now his children. And as representative of Jesus, as we live out the meekness as Jesus had in his life, people will be able to tell from our lives that we're different. different, and that we're not easily angered by some things that would normally angered us previously. But after having met Jesus, after being in a relationship with Jesus, people should be able to tell that we are children of God because of the meekness and the gentleness that we continue to learn from him.
All right, so let me just see a few hands raised. If I claim to be a follower of Jesus, I might even claim to be holding his hand, connected in a relationship, but I am acting in a proud and arrogant way. What message does that send to the person who's seeking rest for her soul? Jason?
It makes the person see God in that way and wonder, is God actually, he says, come to me and I'll give you rest. But if we're acting in a way that's contrary, we're showing that, no, God doesn't give rest. We're basically calling God a liar almost through our actions.
We are deceiving that person who is seeking rest.
Haiti? We're misrepresenting God. Just to add to what Jason is saying, I remember that I heard that Mahatma Gandhi said that he would have become a Christian if it were not for Christians. And when we fail to emulate that characteristic of Jesus, that's what we do. We make people say, if that's what Christianity is, I don't want anything to do with that. If that's what God is like, I don't want anything to do with that.
So we're going into a difficult situation. Would it not be appropriate, of course, all the time, but especially Jesus, let me hold your hand. Let your character be revealed in this interaction, right? Because he's meek and lowly, and because something that, Billy, I think you alluded to earlier, his yoke, well, what did it say in verse 30? Do you remember? His yoke is easy or pleasant. Puya, I think you mentioned that earlier. What does it mean that it's pleasant? It's an easy or a pleasant connection. Stephanie?
I don't think it should be misconstrued for meaning a life of ease.
Okay.
And just self-indulgence. But easy in the sense that you're not walking alone. Jesus is with you, right? If you're connected, if you're in a relationship with him, you're not walking alone. He's with you.
All right. Jason, you want to add to that?
Sure. I think the yoke is kind of like a GPS in you, if you will, that gives you directions. And you have these different paths you can go on. And you can go on this smooth, straight road with all these buildings and cities, or you can go on the beautiful route in the mountains. And it may be a little bumpy. You may have some twists and turns, but the view is so much better. And so sometimes the pleasant way, it may not be the smooth, straight road, but it gives you the best experience.
So I'm going to give a testimony time. Spirit said, stop, testimony time. We still have to talk about the light burden. But if we're agreeing that this whole invitation is to enter into a life-changing relationship with Jesus, a life connection with Jesus, and that is a sweet experience, not a bitter experience.
That's
it's
right.
pleasant, even though it might not always be an easy road. Someone give a testimony when you decided to, I'm going to take the hand of Jesus. Billy, you grew up in a Christian family, maybe, but we all have to make that choice, right? I'm going to take the hand of Jesus. The road may not always be easy, but it's a sweet experience to be in relationship with the Savior. Share with us.
Yeah, exactly. When I was in college, I finally decided, okay, I'm going to dedicate my life to Christ. So that relationship and teaching how to basically lighten other people's burden, so God convicted me that, you know, you're focusing so much on your studies, why don't you get out of that and go help people, give back to the community? So he impressed in my heart to volunteer at the local homeless shelter. So I did that for years and years, and I found out that he was basically building me to be a blessing to refugees at refugee camps.
And now you do that full-time ministry. But let me ask the rest of you a question, then Addison, I'll come to your point. Would it be something Jesus would do to go to a homeless shelter and care for people in need?
Yes.
You know, I can always ask, wait a minute, would Jesus lead me to the homeless shelter to help those people?
Yes.
And the answer is, if you did it to the least of me, Billy, Jesus says, you did it for me.
Yep.
Absolutely. Addison.
Yeah, I just wanted to share a little bit of my testimony. I was 13 years old, and at that point in my life, I was raised in an Adventist home, but I did not know Jesus as my personal Savior. I knew the stories. I prayed to him for certain requests that I had, but it wasn't a relationship. Mm-hmm. And I remember it very distinctly. I was sitting at the piano waiting to go into my lesson, and all of a sudden, it was a deep conviction from the Holy Spirit. And he said to me, "Have you been baptized? Have you made Jesus your personal Savior and Lord?" Mm-hmm. Over that year, I made that decision.
Amen.
And in the following year, I felt like I heard the words of Isaiah 6, where, you know, the Lord came. And I felt like my heart was saying, "Here I am, Lord, send me." And it was that moment where, by accepting Jesus into my heart, by allowing him to come and carry my burdens and be a part of my life, that's when he said, "Okay, now I want you to go and do that for others. Be a blessing to those around you."
Amen. You know, I don't want to challenge that last little thought, but I think very often people just see the yoke as him carrying your burdens.
That's right.
I don't think that's the main part of this story.
No.
I think this is all about a connection that will change your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, he does speak about a burden. Mm-hmm. Because typically when people think of yokes, they think of burdens.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, "My burden is light."
Mm-hmm.
So this is a key question. No. And Puya, I know you had your hand raised for something else, but I'm going to ask you to answer this question if I can. And it's really a crucial question. Remember, we're taking his hand.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What is the burden that Jesus is offering to us that is light? Puya.
I want to go back quickly to the previous point, and I'll try to answer also this question. In my personal experience, I also gave my life to Jesus at a young age. I was about 12 years old when I got baptized, but for a long time, I believe I was it was a burden for me to be a Christian. It was not light. Because I lived a life of uncertainty, of fear of the judgment of God, fear that I would be lost, and it was not a light experience at all. But God has been so good to me to open my eyes slowly as I continue to study the Bible. I came to the realization that Jesus' forgiveness, the forgiveness of God, has been offered to me through Jesus, and I need to believe that. Mm-hmm. And once I believe that God has forgiven me of my sins and has given me a new identity as his child, it's an experience that is wonderful and sweet, where I'm not in fear of the judgment because I know that Christ is my righteousness. So in that context, it is light. It's a joy to obey God, not because I'm doing it to earn God's favor or God's salvation, but because I have been saved.
Beautiful.
And so when we approach this from that angle of having been set free from sin, having been dead to sin, and now being alive in Christ Jesus through that relationship, the yoke is an easy and light burden to carry, in that we're now carrying the burden for other souls, for other people.
All right, I'm going to stop right there, Priya. I'm going
to
stop you right there if I can, because you've talked about the yoke being sweet or easy, but the light burden, and you just began to allude to it, but I want to give Sabina a chance to respond, is not just the burden about my own soul, and my own salvation.
That's right.
Yes.
What is the burden that Jesus has on his heart as the Savior of the world that he wants us to share? Sabina?
Mr. Derek, what I'm thinking is that Jesus said that he came to give us life and life much more abundantly. And when I think of the law and the way that people were relating to the law at that time, which is one of the burdens that we have been discussing, and I think Puya was pointing to, is the fact that, in fact, God's law is meant to give us life. It's meant to be easy for us to live life better and not to have a life that is heavy, and that's a lack of understanding of the heart of God and of the heart of the law, which was to give us this type of life abundant that Jesus was proportionating for us. So when I think of him saying that his burden, like his yoke, is light. Not only it's for me, I receive it as being the salvation granted by his grace and everything, but also because he wants to make me a path that is of life and life much more abundant here and in the life coming.
Okay, but that's still very much focusing on me. And yeah. I think that's okay. But I think Jesus has a burden. He's yes. taking our hand yeah. and guiding us, but he's also inviting us, Jason, to share the burden of his heart, mm-hmm. which he says will not be heavy for you, mm-hmm. but it is a burden of his heart. Mm-hmm. What is the burden that Jesus has on his heart that he wants to have us share?
Well, I think of the word burden as responsibility. And so we have the responsibility to share Jesus' love mm-hmm. with the whole world. That's what he wants. He wants us to share with those who we encounter, share our story, share what Jesus has done for us, so that that person can also have rest for their souls too. Mm.
Doesn't Jesus say that I've come to seek and to save mm-hmm. that which was lost? Mm. Yeah. That is his
yes.
burden.
Yes. Yeah.
How many does he want to accept the invitation to come?
All.
Everyone. And yeah. he is inviting us to share.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, you're saying that's not an unpleasant burden, but it is something. Tell me, where in the scripture, Stephanie, does it tell us, besides here, that he wants us also in this relationship with him to share his burden for the lost?
Well, I'm thinking of this connection of course, the vine and the branch, right?
Okay.
When we're connected. But I think it's not just a responsibility and a burden, but I think it's a passion, right? Because someone was just saying when Jesus becomes real in your life, you can't help but share. And the Bible says that let your light shine. It doesn't mean you have to force it to shine. It says let your light shine so that others may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven.
But I'm still looking for the burden of Jesus. Where does he tell us, share my burden for the lost? Give me some word from the Lord. Billy.
Yeah, well, Matthew 28, the Great Commission.
Go into all the world and share the good news.
That's
what
right.
is the good news?
That
it's the invitation.
Right.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But I think it's two things. One is that, you know, as we're reaching to God, that connection is basically also inviting us, that other hand that's free, reach out to somebody else.
Ah.
Make that connection. Don't just stop with you, but extend to somebody else. Remember mm-hmm. the people mm-hmm. that are still looking for salvation and basically pass it down. So
yeah.
I like the image of you've got a free hand, but I want to take that hand and put that hand, Stephanie.
In the hand of Jesus.
That's yes. right. Mm. Another text that besides Matthew chapter 28, someone, his burden is for the lost. He wants them to come and find rest for their souls. Jason.
So I think of Galatians 6, 2.
That's talking about bearing one another's burdens.
Yes.
Okay, but give me a text that talks about the burden for the lost. Somebody else. Anyone? Yes, Sabina.
So I have John 3:16.
Thank you. Would you read it for us?
Yes.
Maybe someone's joining us for the first time. What mm-hmm. is his burden? His burden is that we would be saved.
Yes.
Would you read John 3:16 for us?
Yes, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. I'll be reading John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Mm. Amen. So there is in Hebrews chapter 12, and you can read the first three verses, Jesus endured the cross
yes. mm-hmm.
because of the joy that was set before him.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
What was the joy that was set before him, Jason?
Us.
It's us that we accepted his invitation
yes.
to have a, what are the key words we've learned today?
Relationship.
A relationship, a saving relationship
yes.
him, mm-hmm. and to be
connected
to him.
Yes.
And you're absolutely right, Stephanie. We cannot be a Christian and not have his burden.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there's so many people yeah. who need to hear the invitation. Is that right?
Yes.
To come and find rest for their souls.
Yes,
yes. Haiti.
Well, I just wanted to say, I don't know, for somebody that maybe thinks like me, like the yoke is placed on you to accomplish a specific task. Mm.
Mm-hmm. And so when we think of the word yoke, before I studied this, I just think of it as like something heavy and unwanted, like get that off me. But when I think about it that way, no, it's a tool to accomplish a specific task, then that makes me like think about it totally differently. And my task is to go and do what he does. Mm. I connect with God, and then I connect others with God.
Mm-hmm. But my first step is the relationship.
Yes,
with him.
That's right. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because I could be kind of bound in a yoke of bondage trying to save myself.
Mm-hmm.
He wants me to take a hold of his hand and to experience that relationship with him. Let's review the text again. Come. Why? Why?
Oh.
Why? Come because I've got something good to share with you, and because you really need it, right?
Yes. Yes.
Come to me. And Stephanie, you've got a choice to do that, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden.
And I will give you
and
rest.
And I will give you rest. Yeah. Take my
yoke.
Now, that's an agrarian term, but he could say today, take my hand and learn from me.
Learn,
I'm what? Meek. Not proud and arrogant, but
gentle.
Meek and lowly in heart, and you will find
rest
for your souls. My friends, we need that rest in Christ more than we even realize.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us may, as Puya mentioned, have grown up thinking we've got to try to earn God's love, earn his favor, perform to a certain level in order to make it to heaven. He is extending the invitation to you and to me daily. Come to me. Find rest for your soul.
Mm.
Oh, what a privilege. And then he's got a work for us to do. Take my burden. It's light, but it is his burden that others would hear that good news and accept his invitation too. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, what a beautiful text. So deep, so much to learn. But I pray that if we don't do anything else, we would say, Jesus, I come. And find rest for my soul. Yeah. And you are, Son of God, able to give us that rest.
Mm-hmm.
We praise you and thank you, Jesus, in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, if you want to memorize that song, go to our website. Don't forget to get your free gift, hopetv.org/hopeSS. Click on the Get Free Gift button. You'll get that theme song plus 11 other beautiful scripture songs. Make that the song of rejoicing in your heart. Rest in Christ, and then go out and be a blessing to those around you.